Hey, dude, guess what tonight?
What?
Pool party, my house, 8 o'clock.
Welcome to Pool Party. This is like 16th episode or something of our podcast that's about stuff and junk and other things like that. I'm Parker.
I'm Jason.
And this week we are joined by a special guest host, a professional podcaster. His name is Mike Dick. He does the Kissing Contest podcast. Hey, how's it going, Mike?
Hey, guys. It's me. It's Mike. I hope you guys have enough bandwidth because you're going to get so many downloads from me being on your show.
That's what we like about professional podcasters coming on our show.
At least 3 more downloads.
Our downloads are going to be doubled by the time this is over. As I said, you do the Kissing Contest podcast, yeah. Which
I'll explain that for you, Parker.
Excellent.
Kissing Contest is a comedy podcast about movies and television and sweet boys and hard-ass men and pleasant fellows. And you can find that at kissingcontestpodcast.com. Or you can go to iTunes and type in Kissing Contest, and it'll pop right up, and you could listen to an episode.
Excellent. It's easy as 1, 2, 3.
Exactly.
Yeah, I enjoy your podcast a lot. Your podcast, like, I have, like, a pyramid scheme of podcasts, sort of, where, the top echelon are podcasts that I check out every episode, and then the next tier down from that are ones that I only listen to, like, if there's a good guest or whatever, and you guys are in that top spot. I always listen to you guys.
Ow!
Thank you very much.
I like that response. I don't think Frisbee has listened to any of your episodes, though.
No, he's a bad person.
I'm just staying quiet, that's all. But I enjoy hearing about it.
Yeah, you're a bad person. You're already on my shit list, Jason Frisbee.
I just enjoy that you say my full name every time you say my name.
You have such a great name to say the whole full name, though. I don't know why you just don't always say it that way. I'm Jason Frisbee.
I actually do. That's no lie, either.
There you go.
Yeah,
and then I act embarrassed about it. Oh, well, I didn't know it was that special. Of course it's special. It's fucking Frisbee. No one else has that last name, except for other people who have last name Frisbee.
Yeah, probably like your family.
Yeah, yeah. We all get pretty high and tight about it.
I feel like we should start calling you Jason Frisbee on the show, because half the time I call you Jason and half the time I call you Frisbee. So casual listeners probably think that there are 3 hosts on this show at all
times.
That's
true.
Holy trinity. Yeah.
We're probably confusing the hell out of people. But yeah, this is Pool Party. Like I said, you can go to our website, poolpartyradio.com. There's stuff there, episodes and whatnot. But mostly go to iTunes and give us comments and stuff. And we'll owe you a solid. Nobody has taken up their solids yet, but we have got some comments, and that's very nice. It warms our hearts when that happens. And facebook.com/junkfooddinner. I mean, damn it. And
good.
Damn it. facebook.com/poolpartyradio. And junkfooddinner. Either one, actually. That's not too bad a mistake. Go to either one. Yeah.
And don't forget the Twitter account, just Pool Party Radio. And if you can think of the solid that you want, by leaving an iTunes comment, you leave it in the comment box, or reach us at poolpartyradio@gmail.com.
Yeah, send us emails. We like that. Firstly, before we get into stuff, I want to apologize to you, Mike. A couple episodes on Junk Food Dinner, which is probably why I was just thinking about Junk Food Dinner. We were talking about Gutterballs 2, and Mark, who is another host on that show, said that he would not be on the show if we decided to review Gutterballs 2. He was like, you know, this is my impression of Mark. Hey, I'm not going to be on the show if you do that movie. So maybe Mike from Kissing Contest can come on instead. And then I was all, no, he doesn't like that movie. We'll have to find somebody even more ghoulish than him. And after I said that, I was like, man, I don't think Mike's ghoulish. Like, we like a lot of the same movies. And I never really had the impression that he was ghoulish until I got it implanted into my brain from your co-host on Kissing Contest, Sawyer. Like, I listened to your other show, Bunkaki, for a long time. I never thought that you were ghoulish on that show. But listening to Kissing Contest, Sawyer has made me find that you are ghoulish. Is that something that you have to deal with a lot?
I think he's definitely started the trend of all my friends thinking I'm a ghoul, that's for sure. And it's definitely come up from the podcast. Like, I've never been known as, like, a really nice, personable person or anything, but I didn't reach, like, ghoul status until, I don't watch ghoulish movies all the time, and I think he gets that impression. I do watch, like, I definitely watch a lot of offbeat, strange movies, and, I just always thought that was, like, normal behavior before I started doing this podcast with him, and he has, like, a very, like, regular, like, you know, pretty bare bones, like, mainstream type of movie background that none of my friends growing up had. So, like, to me, you know, watching something like, I don't know, like, Itchy the Killer, like, that's no big deal. Like, I'm pretty sure all my friends that I know have seen that, but Sawyer hasn't because he's a baby. So, when you do something with babies, they think you're a ghoul. And it's also because I hate animals. But, like, I guess that also somehow makes me a ghoul. And I don't hate them. I just don't think I love them as much as other people do. So I have some ghoulish tendencies. But I think deep down, my real friends know that I'm not that much of a ghoul.
That's understandable.
But I will say that, yeah, though, that I think his better friends that aren't really my friends are getting that vibe that maybe I'm a horrible person. I'm getting my name just tarnished all over the streets. All this ghoul business.
Yeah, it's not even that he makes, like, a good argument that you are a ghoul, but he mentions it, like, 30 times an episode, so it just kind of gets into your brain if you listen to the show.
Yeah, the new episode that should be out by the time this is out on kissingcontestpodcast.com or Kissing Contest iTunes, I try and turn over a new leaf, so it's maybe there's going to be a new side to me on that show where I'm not so much of a ghoul and I'm known as, like, a lighthearted guy from now on. And then maybe, like, 20 episodes from now, you can have me back on as Mike the lighthearted guy instead of Mike the ghoul.
Although Mike the ghoul sounds like a really excellent cable access, like, late night movie show host.
Yeah.
Like, growing up in Dayton, we had this guy named Dr. Creep. And I think Mike the ghoul fits in pretty nicely with that echelon.
Yeah, we also had a ghastly ghoul.
Yeah, well, yeah. We did have a ghastly ghoul, but I like Mike the ghoul better.
Not to stare this off too much, but how long did you guys have those kind of hosts? Like, when did they stop in Dayton?
They just never did. They kept going.
They have, like, local TV there still?
Yeah. Well, like, public access. Like, they don't...
Right.
It's not on, like, the networks. It used to be, and then the 80s happened, and...
Yeah, but they still show, like, old horror movies?
Yep.
Wow, and Dr. Creep was on Saturday afternoons, like, through the 80s, through mid to late 80s. And then he started up on cable access again, mid-90s and late 90s.
Yeah.
And now there's a ghastly ghoul who's doing it.
Oh, yeah, I think one of those guys is in that American Scary documentary.
Yeah, yeah, both of those guys are.
Ah, okay.
That's a good documentary.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So we always, on the weekends, that's all we would do is drink Mad Dog 2020 and watch them hosted by Ghastly Ghoul.
That's a pretty depressing weekend, I must say.
Yeah, I was going to make a comparison that the light at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier never goes out, and Dayton is not without a horror movie host. But yeah, that is pretty depressing also. So.
Drinking, like, banana kiwi Mad Dog. Probably a lot of puking going on. That's a bad scene.
No, we were very wussy when it came to drinking. We wouldn't drink nearly enough to puke.
Okay.
Just enough to not be good at Mario Kart anymore. But yeah, so seeing as to how you have sort of a reputation for being a ghoul, and lately Jason and I have been ghoulish in that we banned our good friend John Holmes and hurt his feelings. I figured that we're kind of ghoulish now. So I figured that we would take this empathy test that Brett Easton Ellis told me about on Twitter to see just exactly how ghoulish we are, to see if we have any empathy for our human friends or not. And so we've done that. And I don't want to go first because I'm rather embarrassed about my score. So if one of you guys want to start us off, that would be great. This is sort of like the time that we did the Dungeons and Dragons thing, and I got chaotic evil, and I feel very bad about myself now.
Well, I'm looking forward to it, so Mike, you want to do the honors as guest and set the standard?
Yeah, I'm going to have to warn you guys. I have a lot to say about this test. First off, I know going into it, I don't have a problem with empathy. I know that. Like, my problem is that I used to be, like, a very angry person, and I was, like, passionate about stuff, and then I became, like, an older person, and when you get older, you realize, like, everything you believed in when you were a kid is fucking bullshit. And, like, all that stuff you fought for is stupid, because it makes no sense and it's silly. You're just a stupid little dreamer. And so I still had, like, this anger, but I was trying to, like, you know, be a calm, neutral person at the same time. So it's just, like, it all, like, all the anger just built up inside of me and, like, made my soul implode. So it's just, like, it's not that I'm not empathetic. I just don't have, like, I just don't fucking care about anything. Like, I just, everything to me is just so absurd. So I just have a problem with, I guess I have a problem with reality more than empathy. But, so I did this test, and I knew I was going to probably get, like, average and not anything, like, too horrifying. And I got the average. I got 39, which I don't have the results in front of me, but I believe, like, something like 38 to 45 was what an average male should be anyways, or something like that.
Yeah, so 33 to 52 is average.
Right.
Yeah. And I got a 39, so I was, like, right in the middle of that. So, not too bad. And then, I didn't read anything in the beginning, so I don't know if it prefaced what happened, but I was reading the results, and it said, you know, if you fall below 20 or whatever it was, that's most people with Asperger's fall below 20 or blah, blah, blah. And then I was really upset that Parker made me take a test where I could have ended up with Asperger's. And,
or high-functioning autism.
Yeah. And I don't think, like, that would have... I can't even explain to you. Like, I started getting nauseous thinking about it. Like, oh, my God, I was so close to this. I would have had to write you an email like, sorry, I can't be on your show. And then I would have jumped out of the fucking window. Like, it would have been done. I would have been done. And so that was the first thing that pissed me off. The second thing is that then I realized, do you guys happen to know who Dave Cat is?
I do not.
Dave Cat is this dude that was in a documentary called Guys and Dolls, which is about real dolls. You guys know what real dolls are, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
And so Dave Cat is like this fucking freak, like anime dude, like super into anime, like very nerdy. He's ethnic looking. I can't tell you what race he is, but he has darker skin, but he has like straight hair. So he just has like this weird vibe to him as it is. And he wears like Matrix clothing and, you know, shit like that. And he was on this documentary talking about like his love for real dolls and all this shit. And like he brings out his real doll and, you know, she's like a made up like anime character style real doll. But anyways, that was the first documentary he was on. And like he became internet famous from that. And then last season, he was on the National Geographic show, Taboo. And on that show, they're, you know, trying to figure out if he had a problem or what he was doing was normal. And they made him take a test for Asperger's, and it was this very test. So the second thing that pissed me off is that Parker made me take the same test that Dave Cat took. And so if I had Asperger's, and it was the same way that Dave Cat found out he had Asperger's, I would double jump out of the window. And
you would have climbed back up the stairs and jumped out again. Right.
So thank you for almost ruining my life, Parker. I was very close.
Oh, man, you make me feel so much worse about my score now.
But without even asking Parker, like, I can assure you that the only reason we took this test is because Brady Stanellis said something about it.
Yeah.
Like, he could have just said it in passing while on the street. It didn't have to be a Twitter account. He could have just been like, yeah, so this empathy test, and then it would just be a bug in his ear. And might be the entire reason we were doing this podcast series. It's just so he could have this show where it's like, so, empathy test that one Mr. Easton Ellis mentioned.
Yeah, I think that is all you need to know about what my score is that I got the idea to do this from Bret Easton Ellis. Like, oh, I love your books about seeing women's vaginas, like actually eating
with
them.
Yeah,
with rats inside of them. I love that so much that I wanted to take this test. So I guess maybe that tells you everything you need to know. But yeah, so I got a 22.
Oof, close. You're close to the Asperger's.
Yeah, he's actually in the range. It's 0 to 32, right?
Well, if you're under 20, 20 and under means, means that you have the autism or the Asperger's. But I'm very low still. I'm in the low category.
right above the waterline.
Yeah, it's
so close.
Yeah, well, I have no idea what to do. Like, if somebody was crying, like that I knew or something, but they were like on a different couch than me, I would have no idea how to handle that situation. Like, if they were right next to me, I would know, put your arm around this person, tell them they're there or whatever. But
I'll admit there are some situations where I'm like that. I cannot, like, when people cry, I don't know what to do. My fucking, like, everything in my brain just stops, and I'm just like, I do not know how to act in this situation. But I mean, there's other things where I'm normal, but yeah, stuff like that, I cannot handle.
Yeah, it's mostly stuff like that for me. A lot of the questions on this are stuff like that. Like, do you care if somebody is crying? And I suppose I care in that, if somebody I'm with is crying, that means I'm no longer having fun, because you can't be like, this is the best roller coaster ever!
Yeah.
If somebody's crying. So I think that's a lot of it. And, you know, stuff like that. Like, if I'm out to dinner and somebody's like, hey, I don't really like this place, maybe we should go to another place, I don't know what to do, because I feel torn between my friend who wants to go someplace else and the people who work at the restaurant who have already seen me and know that I'm already there. And I don't want to insult them by no longer being in the restaurant.
Oh, no, I have no problem with that. Definitely not.
Yeah, neither do I.
I think maybe that's my problem, is that I care more about strangers being upset than I do about my friends.
That's understandable. I'm the complete opposite. Like, it's definitely the opposite for me. Like, the only people I care about are my friends. We're probably going to get into that a little more in the party purgatory section anyways, because it's pretty based on that. But yeah, so I'm definitely the opposite in that category.
Yeah, like, I don't care if I, like, like, I could go up to a stranger and be like, well, I don't like you, you freakish, stupid jerk. Like, but if I accidentally upset a stranger, then nothing could be worse for me.
Yeah, I hear that.
But what score did you get, Frisbee? I assume you're not nearly as horrible as I am.
100 million, 150.
Yeah, I got 9,000 on this mother.
It's over 9,000.
As shit. I had 41. So, yeah, again, dead center of the 33 to 52 average. I'm as average as it gets.
Yeah.
And that is the most empathy a man should have. Don't let anybody tell you different either.
The most men's score is about 42, according to their chart here.
Yeah. Men with too much empathy, that freaks me out. So that's not good.
Yeah.
Yeah, they say that 80 is maximum on this. Just the score of 80 is maximum. Maximum empathy.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can deal with that either.
Yeah. Then you become Dr. Drew and you just try to help everybody.
Possibly. Or just a person who hugs constantly.
Yeah.
Don't let go. Don't ever let go.
I did forget to point out my favorite question, which is number 46, which was, people sometimes tell me that I have gone too far with teasing. And I just like that question because I have never heard, like, an adult use the word teasing in forever, I think, unless they're talking to a child. So it's just, I don't know, the wording of that was just too much. Like, I definitely laughed out loud when I got to that question.
Yeah, I think I went with somewhat agree on that, because I've never been accused of teasing somebody too much, but I have been accused of, like, talking shit about very specific people in a newspaper story too much. And I guess that's probably about the same thing. Like, when I wrote for newspapers, like, I'd be like, writing a story about NoFX is coming to town, blah, blah, blah. And, like, the third paragraph would just be like, I know a guy who hangs around, and he's a piece of shit, and he owes me some money, and I fucked his girlfriend. And then it would just go back to talking about NoFX.
Those are my favorite articles, though. I really enjoyed those.
Yeah, those are the best ones that I did. Yeah, so I went with somewhat agree.
I definitely went with definitely agree for that one.
I like the one that asks you if you ever cut open worms to see what it was like.
Yeah, no one did that. Not even if you're a fucking murderer. No one's going to be like, strongly agree. No one's going to put that.
Yeah.
It's fucking disgusting.
Yeah.
Beyond that, like, most people were forced to if you were in ninth grade biology. Like, I remember doing the worm dissection, not really thinking twice about it. Like, okay, so it's worm guts.
I thought it was fucking gross. I did that, and then we did the frog, and I don't know which one was more gross, actually. Like, they're both pretty gross, but the worm one was just, like, super gross, because it was, ugh. I don't know, cutting up worms is gross.
Yeah, well, worms are gross to start out with.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think that's what makes it so gross. It's like frogs, like they're kind of gross, but they're not that gross. Like the grosser something is starting out, the more horrible it's probably going to be on the inside.
And I was actually, when the worm question came up, I was thinking about that in biology class. And like, I think they only give you the worm so you could warm up to the frog. So like the frog's no big deal. And that's fucked up.
Yeah, you had the opposite reaction. You're saying that the worm was horrifying in comparison yeah. to the frog. Or at least that's what Parker was illuminating yeah. there.
Yeah, because like the frog is just like, it's sort of like regular parts of a body, but the worm is just gross. Like, you're just cutting up this thing and it's nasty, but I think it's to desensitize children to then cut up the frog, and that's fucked up.
Yeah, it's sort of like, hey, if you practice cutting up children, you'll be all right cutting up adults when you get older.
You didn't like your schools didn't like reach to as far as going like cutting up pigs, right?
I think my school had to cut up cats. Which,
yeah,
shut the fuck up.
It was either my high school or when I was in. I think it was high school though. Yeah,
cats.
Which is horrible because people have cats for pets. Like,
what the fuck? Are they skinned?
No, I don't know. I was never in that class. I just heard about it from people.
I don't remember the cats being. I don't think they were skinned. I think it was like short hair.
Wait, have you dissected a cat, Jason Frisbee?
I think so, but it's been a long time. Like, that must have been blocked from my mind. It was either me or my brother, or both. I can't remember.
And that was in Dayton?
Yeah.
Yep.
So that's probably where Saw takes place then. They never say, but it's probably where you have to dissect a fucking cat in school when you're
or
a child.
Or saw off your leg, yeah.
Yeah.
One of the two.
They just
that was the original script, right? Guy from Robin Hood Men in Tights, you're going to be chained to this ground. You can either dissect a cat and locate its heart or saw off your own foot.
Yeah, in order to graduate, you have to hang out with Julie Benz and survive a day. Yeah, apparently Dayton's a horrible place. The Saw, like every scene in Saw, like all the rusty factories that they're always in, that looks exactly like Dayton, so that does make sense.
I've never been to Dayton. I've only been to Cleveland and Cincinnati, and Cincinnati was, you know, a couple weeks ago. And
yeah.
As Kevin noted, I only went to the dumpy parts.
Yeah, well, all the dumpy parts of Cincinnati look like all the good parts of Dayton, pretty much. And at least in Cincinnati, you can, like, just jump into the lake and flee, or the river and flee to Kentucky, where things are much better. Dayton doesn't have that.
Yeah, my friend that was with us when I was in Cincinnati lives in Kentucky now, and he was like, yeah, we had the choice between Cincinnati and Kentucky, and we definitely went with Kentucky.
Yeah, it's way better. Not everything's made out of rust and broken glass. People just build houses out of broken glass there now.
I'm steering clear of any comments for this because my girlfriend's from Cincinnati. In fact, we just had frozen skyline for dinner because the supermarket here actually carries that for transplants from Ohio. It's like a very limited supply, and you have to look behind this, I don't know, this old column to find them. They run out really fast. So yeah, if she hears the Cincinnati bashing that you're doing, I'm probably going to get slapped in the, well, not slapped in the face, but she'll ask me to slap in the face. I can't do that.
It's okay. I lived in
not
Albany.
Not you,
for,
but...
I know. But I lived in Albany for like a really long time, and that's basically like the northeast Cleveland, basically. It's just gray instead of brown. And, you know, I had a lot of fun there, but now when I visit, I, like, notice why people don't like being in Albany, because it's kind of a depressing place. So I understand, you know, like, being from a depressing city, but still having some pride in it.
Oh, yeah. And I think that's, like, the name of all Ohio cities. Like, everybody I've met who talks about, like, their city in Ohio being great, whether it's Toledo, Cleveland, Akron.
Yeah.
Cincy, like being to all of those, they all look really very similar. Like a lot of factories are no longer in use, just people kind of drudging around, shrugging.
Our new producer on Kissing Contest, kissingcontestpodcast.com, he's from Cleveland, and you know, he definitely has a lot of Cleveland pride.
Yeah, definitely. Brownbacker and all that.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, me and Frisbee went to Akron one time, which is near Cleveland, and it literally was like a ghost town. I don't think we saw anybody on the streets, and we were there on like a Friday night, and there's like a couple of broken down cars, and like we didn't even see any bums or anything. It was really weird.
Was that the place? Was that the green spider?
Yeah, the place where we saw the Groovy Ghoulies?
Yeah. Yeah, like walking around Akron that late at night and just seeing how dead it was does make you appreciate that bands like Devo and the Black Keys actually came from that place. Like the creative artistic integrity shot out like a rocket, apparently. Yeah,
that's where it happens. It happens in cities like that because it's like so depressing that you got to fucking do something.
Yeah.
Definitely. And yeah, at that point, that was the only city where I'd ever been where steam actually came up out of the manhole covers. And that, to me, equates like just being a rough, rough town. That's really depressed.
There's the first place you saw hobo fire barrels.
Yeah. It had all the familiar symptoms of being a place that Roddy Piper would have to fight AIDS.
The ranch house was in the movie colony and had walls that were cream-colored and mirrored and pillars that lined the pool shaped like a baby grand piano and raked gravel blanketed the yard and small planes flew above it in the dry air before landing at the airport nearby. At night, the moon would hang over the silver-rimmed desert and the streets were empty and the girl and boy would get stoned by the fire pit. And sometimes dogs could be heard barking over the wind thrashing the palm trees as I pounded into the girl, and the house was infested with crickets. And the boy's mouth was warm. But I didn't really feel anything until I hit him, always panting, my eyes gazing at the steam rising from the pool at dawn. And the human skull in the plastic bag was a prop watching us from the nightstand in the bedroom, and sometimes I made the girl kiss the skull. And her eyes were in a trance, and she gazed at me as if I didn't exist. And then I'd tell the boy to beat the girl, and I watched as he threw her to the floor, and then I told him to do it again. And the sound of crickets kept playing over the scene.
And now, it's time for the lightning round.
The first thing we have is that Charles Manson's apparently going to be given a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
I'm sorry, go on.
I was just going to say that it's for his achievements in music, quote unquote.
Yeah, this is fucking bullshit. I don't know who's in charge of this stuff. I imagine it's some high school kid in death metal, because I don't know who else would be like, oh, let's give Charles Manson a fucking star in the Walk of Fame. I've never been to Hollywood. I don't know how big the Walk of Fame is. I imagine it's big enough where they're hurting for space so bad that Charles Manson is actually a person that's going to get a star. So I imagine there's probably like a lot of key grips and gaffers that no one knows who the fuck they are. But this is like, I don't even know. This is fucking retarded. Sorry, excuse my language, but it's retarded.
Yeah, I totally agree. I don't understand how O.J. Simpson can get his Heisman Trophy taken away and like be shamed. And Pete Rose, who bet on baseball once or twice, like, he's shamed. He'll never appear in baseball again. But if you're Charles Manson and you kill all types of people, then apparently you get honored and people applaud you.
He didn't technically kill anybody. I'm not like a Charles Manson defender or anything, but like, it's just fucking stupid. It's such a dumb idea.
Yeah,
like it's a tourist spot. Like, it's just ridiculous to do that in a tourist spot.
Yeah, I wonder if Sharon Tate has a star.
No, I don't think she does, because she got fucking murdered. Maybe if she lived a little longer.
Yeah, it's, yeah, the part, or one of the parts that upsets me most about this is that they're like trying to play it off and be like, yeah, he was like totally a musician, but his albums are real awful.
Yeah, they're super bad.
Yeah, and I mean, if you're gonna say, oh, you know, this guy who like hung out with the Beach Boys and like had some shitty albums deserves a star, then absolutely everybody needs a star now.
Yeah, everybody's drug dealer ever needs a fucking star in the Walk of Fame, I guess, because that's what it basically amounts to.
Yeah, and if they're just giving away stars to people who have really sweet beards, then I'm looking forward to getting my star. How do you feel about this, Frisbee? Are you upset?
Yeah, well, not really. I mean, it's to extrapolate what Mike said, like, this is a tourist destination, and it's probably waned a lot in the past couple of years. Well, I'm guessing that a ton of people still go, but probably not a lot of people know it as Man's Chinese or anything like that. They just want to see a star on the Walk of Fame, and what better than to like drum up some publicity and controversy by making this dumbest shit move and putting Charles Manson as an influential musical personality. Yeah, it doesn't fit, and it's just to drum up a news story like this and say, hey, we should go see the Charles Manson star while baked or whatever, and That's what it's going to turn into.
So you think it's like a big conspiracy, like by the city of or the town of Hollywood or whatever it's classified as?
I don't think it's a big conspiracy. I think it's just a really cheap PR ploy to get more foot traffic there for whatever reason. Like, yeah. I don't know what the financial goal would be. Like, I'm not sure what businesses are around there, but I'm sure it's just to like drag more people out into LA.
Yeah.
For people who don't have any reason to go to LA.
Yeah, there's like a bunch of tourist bullshit right around there and theaters and record stores and stuff. The lady who's in charge of all this says, Charlie is a musician first and foremost.
No, it's not. Yeah. That's like, that's a bad, bad PR statement. It's just shitty.
Yeah.
There's so many stories that just start off with, oh, do you remember that musician, Charles Manson?
Yeah.
No one ever says that.
That's like saying that Ed Gein is a carpenter, first and foremost.
Do you remember that artist, John Wayne Gacy? He was such a good artist.
And such a wonderful clown at parties, too.
Yeah. She says, we don't want to miss out on anyone who greatly contributed to the music scene in Hollywood, in America, and throughout the world.
I can just smell this shit, like, from here. It's just so pungent.
Yeah, if you give him a star for contributing to the music scene in Hollywood, then you have to give one to all the, like, Rock of Love broads.
Yes.
Because they probably contributed much more.
I didn't really think of the PR angle. I was really legit thinking there's just, like, some high school death metal kid that decides this stuff. Because, like, I guess the PR thing does make sense, though, now that I think about it.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of people... Oh, go ahead.
No, I just gathered it from the... When you mentioned it was a tourist destination, that's when it kind of clicked, but...
Yeah, I think a lot of people go to Haight Ashbury in San Francisco to, like, see Charles Manson stuff, so maybe... Hollywood's trying to get some of that huge money.
That huge creep money that's coming in. For the black. There's a big black t-shirt store right in front of his star.
Yeah. There's a store that only sells black t-shirts that have, like, pentagrams on them.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. That's why it's so shitty. It's like going for the coveted creep dollar. Like, that's not that's not the kind of tourist you want just muddling about.
Yeah. Whatever. I could see if they were just like, yeah, we're putting him on here because he's like a real famous serial killer. Deal with it. Because at least that's honest. But to do this whole music thing, that's what makes me mad. Oh, well. The next thing we have on the lightning round is that a museum guard kicked out a couple of lesbians for holding hands in a museum in San Francisco. And this seems kind of like the least likely place for that to happen. I mean, Earth, mostly. For that to happen, that seems very unlikely that somebody would do that in Earth circa 2011. But mostly it seems very unlikely that this would happen in San Francisco, and they were visiting the art of a well-known lesbian artist. So none of this seems very likely, yet somehow it happened.
Yeah, the only thing I could think of is, like, this dude is, like, method acting for, like, this sitcom of, like, the only person that lives in San Francisco that's intolerant of gays, and it's just, like, some sitcom about this guy who just, like, goes around and he's like, goddamn gays, I can't even be a fucking security guard without seeing these goddamn gays. I'm going to make them stop holding hands. I can't think. There's no other reason for this.
Yeah. And I like that that's his way of getting to them, is that he's not going to be tolerant of their hand-holding. He's not going to, like, go out and vote against Prop 8 or whatever, or vote for it, whichever one it is. And he's not going to go protest anything. He's just going to make sure there's no goddamn hand-holding. How do you feel about this, Frisbee? You upset?
Okay. Yeah, I was like, that was ridiculous. Out of all places, San Francisco, obviously being more open to, like, just any lifestyle, I don't see why this event even occurred. It must have been a guy, like, on his first day as a security guard or something.
Yeah, and he got the out-of-date handbook. That says if people are holding hands, kick him out.
Yeah, he was he's a transplant, like, directly from middle of nowhere in Idaho.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm going to get a job as a security guard in the San Francisco Museum. Boy, that'll be interesting.
Yeah.
Better wear a tie tucked into my buttoned-up suit jacket.
Yeah, he came straight from 1930s Depression, Oklahoma. One of the...
He's the last prospector. That's what it was. He finally made it. He finally made it to the gold town. Got a job as a security guard. Never saw people holding hands before.
Yeah, it's not that they were lesbians. He's just never seen any kind of PDA like that with anybody.
His first word to them was tarnation.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So beyond that, the next thing we have is that Kimbo Slice, famed tough guy and beard brethren to me, he may fight Nicolas Cage's son Weston for some reason. Apparently Weston, who has been crazy for a couple of weeks, if you keep up with the celebrity gossip, challenged Kimbo Slice, says he wants to be an MMA fighter, wants to fight him, and Kimbo said that he will do it. So it will be, I guess, funny when Weston Cage dies.
I read the article that you linked, and I'm a big fan of the mixed martial arts. And whatever the dickhead they were quoting in the article is like, oh, Weston Cage said Kimbo Slice is his favorite MMA fighter. And right there, I started making like a jerk off motion with my hand because like that's not true because Kimbo Slice is no one's favorite MMA fighter.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming this is just like one of those celebrity boxing things. And like both of these guys may or may not know that they're going to be fighting each other, but it's definitely not anything like. Where Weston Cage is like, yeah, I'm going to fight Kimbo Slice. He probably doesn't even know who the fuck Kimbo Slice is. He's like some weird goth. Why the fuck would he know who Kimbo Slice is?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Unless... I also like the... unless what?
Oh, well, I mean, unless he's like a very not... I feel like the only people who would say that Kimbo Slice is their favorite MMA fighter are people who know nothing about the MMA. So maybe he just knows. Like, because Kimbo Slice, like if you say, hey, Kimbo Slice and, you know... Nate Marquardt. People will be like, yeah, Kimbo Slice, of course, just because people know the name.
But it's just the way that the article is worded. Like, the quotes are like, oh, he'll only fight him in a boxing ring and all this stuff. And it's just very set up for, like, when Danny Bonaducci fought Screech. It's just, like, one of those deals.
I also like the quote, like, speaking of quotes, where it says, Kimbo Slice is Nick Cage famous. And then there's an ellipses. It says, Weston, his 15 minutes are up. And it's like... Does Kimbo Slice star in American Treasure and other shitstorms and have this really eccentric lifestyle where he buys castles and whatnot?
Yeah. Kimbo like, Slice owns... I was going to say Kimbo Slice owns no castles.
Yeah, exactly.
Like I think
he owns no dinosaur bones. He owns none of that. So he's not Nick Cage famous.
Just a wicked beard. That's it.
Hey, that's all you need in life. That's all you need.
Exactly.
It would have been nice to see
bald gracefully, unlike Nick Cage.
It would have been nice to see Kimbo Slice and Drive Angry though, because that probably would have made that movie a lot better. This is funny to me. I would probably pay any price just to see some rich goth kid get beat up. Either that, or watch Kimbo Slice get beat up, because maybe that's what he needs. maybe he didn't get beat up enough this short amount of time he was in the UFC, and
yeah.
This is what he would need to go away forever, is to get beat up by a rich goth kid. And finally, the most best news I've heard in a long time, finally on the lightning round, the cash cab killed a pedestrian in Vancouver. It apparently ran over some elderly man. I'm surprised this didn't happen on the very first episode of Cash Cab and just keep on happening every subsequent episode, but apparently it's finally happened. And who would have thought that a guy who was like, hosting a television show while driving in some of the biggest cities in the world would have been preoccupied enough to hit somebody. How do you guys feel about this?
I thought it was inevitable. Like, he's constantly looking over his shoulder, asking them if they want to continue, and just, like, just shooting the shit generally. Like, so, you guys visiting? Man, who are you going to call on that phone? It's like, watch the road, guy. You have a rearview mirror. Just check up in that every so often.
I think that so many people that watch television at 4 p.m. that are too lazy to change the channel are going to be so bummed when this gets canceled because of this. Because, I have no opinion on this. The few times I do go home to, like, visit my my family, and if it's, like, a weekday or something, and, like, they'll be watching Cash Cab, I just get so upset. Like, I cannot handle that show. I don't know what it is about it, but there's something with it that just rubs me the wrong way. So I'm glad it's going to probably get canceled now.
Is this sour grapes because you live in New York, and is this just sour grapes because you were never in the cash cab?
No, it's not sour grapes because of that, but I think if you live here, you start to build like a real hatred towards cab drivers, And it could be that, but no, I've felt this way. I feel like Cash Cab has been on TV since, I don't know, since the early 90s. I don't know if that's right, but it just feels like...
90s, yeah.
Yeah, it's. I just feel like it's been on for thousands of years, and I'm glad it's going to have a great ending where someone dies.
Yeah, I think that the original Cash Cab guy is now a stand-up comedian, and his whole act is about how much he hates Cash Cab.
I got to check that out, then. I didn't even know there was more than one Cash Cab guy.
Yeah, yeah. When they did the Chicago show, there was, like, some broad. I think every time they switch towns, they get, like, somebody else. I think, anyway. I used to watch it when we were at work, because watching TV is way better than working.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and it was the only thing on for 5 hours in a row before Dog the Bounty Hunter came on. So it was all we had. But yeah, it'll be a spectacular end. I'm sad that more game shows don't end in murder.
There's just a reality show that Repo Game Show, that had a shooting on it not too long ago.
Oh, yeah.
That's one of the worst ideas for a reality show ever, because it combines repoing, which is very exciting, of course, with a game show. So it's like the worst version of Cash Cab ever. So that even makes my blood boil more. Yeah, it's the show where a repo guy comes to your house and he's like, I'm going to take your car, but I won't take it if you can answer three of these five questions.
So he's like a troll from a grim fairy tale. Like, answer me these questions three, or else I take your house.
Yeah, it's that's exactly what it is, and it's on Spike, because, you know, what else is Spike going to show?
Oh, obviously.
Yeah.
There's all these outlandish shows that are, like, almost the same thing. Like, I think there's a few more repo shows where it's not a game show, and it's just regular repo guys.
Yeah, there's hundreds.
Yeah, like, there's so many of the same show that every time I see a commercial for one, I'm like, yeah, maybe I'll watch this, because I'm bored, and I'm... got nothing to do in California and play sucks. But there's like eight shows that are exactly the same show, so I never know which one correlates with the commercial that I thought was somewhat interesting. Or, I mean, not so much interesting, but more interesting than just sitting and looking at my wall.
And yeah, they're spinned off from each other, too. There's like ones that like have crossovers and stuff. It's horrible. It's very depressing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of maddening. Mentioning the repo one, there's also that... what is it? It's like the Locker Kings or whatever. There's basically two shows where people will go bid on whatever is in abandoned or left behind storage lockers.
Storage Wars.
Is that the one I'm thinking of? That's,
yeah.
One of them is just, they're probably both awful, but one is just god awful. And there's a really obnoxious guy out of California. They do like these asides, and it's the same group every time bidding on these things. They travel together, get in fights, and yeah, it's just terrible. But I can't remember what show it is, because there's two of them I know of.
No,
there's Storage Wars and something.
The Storage Wars one is the one you just described. I've definitely fallen victim for watching Storage Wars for 4 hours one day.
Oh.
So I know like the whole season. The other one, the other one's Locker Kings, and that one might actually come on Spike, because it's extreme. I watch everything. It is. Like, all they do is take the dumbest reality shows and make them extreme. They have an Extreme Auction Hunters, too. Like, I watch every single reality show once, because I just, like, I don't know, I just want to see what it's like. And they're all very depressing, all the time.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I've been trying to hide the Locker Wars shows from my wife, because my house already kind of looks like the Sanford and Sunset, because my wife just collects stuff. Like, anytime we're out, she's like, hey, this is a cool table. And I'm like, yeah, but we already have, like, eight tables in our living room. She's like, no, we need this one too. So we've just got like tables stacked on top of each other, and like,
oh man, if you don't wise up, you're not going to end up on Storage Wars. You're going to end up on Hoarders or Extreme
that's
Hoarders.
Right.
And that's
Extreme Hoarders on Spike.
Yeah. Well, hopefully I could end up on Extreme Hoarders, because then they would be like, all right, we got to get these tables out of here, and then go sledding with them. Something. I'd be pretty cool with that. But yeah, I think now we should get to the part of the show that we call a party purgatory. This is something we've done a few times. It's where we hypothetically talk about a party we've gone to. Some of our friends are outside, some of our friends are upstairs, some have gone to go get more beer. Whatever happens at parties where you get trapped on a couch talking to somebody that you find to be the worst person in the world. And we figure out who that person is, who the worst person you could possibly imagine being next to at this party. I will go first, as that seems only fair. And this is not so much a person that I've met before, but a person that I feel probably exists, or I know probably exists, and that's the person who True Blood is their favorite show on Earth.
You should specify if it's a man, because I think that's a different level than a female who's that who, if that's their favorite show. If it's a male's favorite show, that's way worse.
Yeah. I guess we've got a 50-50 chance at this hypothetical party. But yeah, if it's a man, that's awful, because clearly it's like True Blood is sort of like Twilight without the interesting characters and interesting scenarios. It's
ouch.
Yeah, it's just awful. And when I worked at the newspaper, there were like we had our department, which was like us slackers putting together the newspaper, and then the next department over was like all the secretary ladies who have like calendars of their favorite things, and you know, like they have printout pictures of, you know, or like magazine cutout pictures of whoever they find sexy. And one lady had like 17 pictures of the blonde fellow from True Blood all over her cubicle. And it was just awful. It made me sad to go over there. You know, I mean, I didn't understand how this was okay in a business setting, that you would have 17 pictures of like a shirtless man covered in blood. But apparently it was all right. But yeah, this show was awful. And people, I've known people that have tried to tell me that it's good and that it's worth watching and that it's very sexy and very vampire-y. And I've watched probably the majority of these episodes, and it's probably the worst thing I've ever seen, and I hate it. And it's sort of like the menopause version of Twilight.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I hate, like, I do accept that women watch it because it's a very feminine show, I guess. You know, it's geared towards women no matter what anybody tells you. Mm-hmm. And I hate when they try and like rope you in where they're like, oh, there's a bunch of tits in it, and like, I don't know, there's a bunch of tits in porn too, so I don't need to watch like this sissy vampire thing. But I will say, I'll hold out if the next season after this one introduces Frankensteins, I'm completely down. But until then, I do not care.
Yeah, they've got everything except for Frankensteins. So they've got fairies, witches, shapeshifters, vampires. It's fucking ridiculous. But yeah, if Frankenstein show up, I'll be pretty into that. Or like old school mummies. Like, I think they've had like a like the essence
just
of a
some
mummy.
Sort of reanimated dead. Because I like how you're saying, both of you are saying Frankensteins as if that was the name of the monster. I mean, you're talking about like just a reanimated dead dude, not like the actual Dr. Frankenstein, right?
Well, yeah, maybe. Yeah. If the doctor himself got reanimated into a Frankenstein.
That would be awesome. Then they could just drop the name. Yeah, whoa, Frankenstein's back, and he's pissed.
Did you guys, I don't even know if it's still on the air, but there was a show like last season on Sci-Fi that was like a ghost, a vampire, and a werewolf living together, like sexy ghost, sexy vampire, and sexy werewolf, like living in an apartment together.
Yeah.
That was trying to cash in on True Blood, but I hope that went away.
Yeah,
it's
I don't
probably
know.
Like the grown-up version of the original Groovy Ghoulies cartoon show, where it in fact was like a goofy Dracula, a goofy crazy wolfman, and a spooky ghost playing trombone, all living together.
Yeah, I wanted to catch that show because like one of the kids from Not Another Teen Movie was in it, and then like one of the army guys from The Mist was in it, and I think those movies are good. And I wanted to see how those guys had fallen and how their careers had come to crumble that way. Frisbee, do you have a party purgatory?
I do. Mine's also show related, but I've just watched, this is going to be really nerdy, but I just watched the Netflix instant streaming beginning for Firefly, which I know this is kind of dated since it's about 10 years ago. Timely, as Mark would say. And my party purgatory would be the person or persons who decided to cancel Firefly. I'm already enamored with it. And I don't understand why anybody would cancel this thing. It looks great. And it is, from what I can tell, completely great. But I guess not enough people watched it. And everybody was quick to just cut it mid-season or like in the last quarter of the season. Even didn't show all the episodes intended that were filmed. Like, nah, we're not even going to give this the full college try, because it's Fox. They never would. They're just so quick to press any button to shut something down.
Mm-hmm. They're quick to ban your favorite band's lead singer.
I never watched Firefly. I have problems with shows like that. But, like, I just wanted to say, today I was on this blog. It's like, I guess it would be a nerd blog, like nerdy pop culture stuff, but it's called Gamma Squad, gammasquad.com, and they actually had a mixtape today that some rapper made dedicated to Firefly, so maybe you should check that out, Jason Frisbee.
I think that's probably going to be Donald Glover's rap alias, because he's enamored with that show too, from what I understand.
It could be. I don't know. I didn't
Gambino?
Read it.
Was it Gambino something?
No, it was like a way like more normal sounding name than that. So
like I Kevin, Kevin the rapper. What's your beef with? Sorry, but to go back to what we were saying, what's your not your beef, but what's your thing with shows like this?
I shouldn't single out and say shows like this. I just have I don't watch many like serious continuing network shows because I just like can't. I don't know. I can't get sucked into it, I guess. Like, I always find problems with them. So if it was on like a cable channel, I'd probably give it a chance. But since it's on, since it was on network TV, I've never heard anything bad about it. But I just can't see myself. Like, I tried to watch Lost a few weeks ago, and I was like, "Fuck this!" Like, I don't understand how people like this.
I totally agree. And for some reason, not for some reason, but. I was the exact same way, actually, about a month and a half ago. Still that same way. Like, no, I'm not going to watch Lost. I'm not going to watch whatever the hell else was on. Anything that has, like, a lot to do with continuity, but just breaks continuity constantly.
Yeah. And that's what the thing is. I just can't give, like, network shows a chance because I know they have, like, so many, you know, they have so many, boundaries, I guess, where, you know, they can't do certain things. So it's just like, I try to watch V because I was a big fan of the earlier one, and like, I was just like, I can't do this. This is horrible.
I got you now. Yeah, that makes total sense. Now I'm willing to give anything a shot because I, at the request of my brother, I began watching Doctor Who. And once I gained a palate for that, I'm like, well, I can just fucking watch anything now, obviously. Because this is a guy who travels through time. Back and forth. It's not network American, but it's definitely network British.
Yeah,
which
yeah.
Parker hates.
I do hate that.
That's been on for thousands of years, though. It's been on since I was a little tiny kid, so I imagine a lot of people like it.
Yeah.
I did pull up that mixtape for you. It's Adam Warwick and Kill of the Thought Criminals present the Brown Coats mixtape.
Oh, no kidding. Yeah, I'll have to look that up then. I didn't know what Firefly was. Until about a month and a half ago. Also a month and a half ago when I just started. For some reason, magically a month and a half ago, I opened myself up to all things syndicated series-like. But
Didn't they make a movie of it, too, or something? Or am I thinking of a different show?
Oh, they totally did. It's a hell of a movie.
See, there you go, Jason. You have the movie to look forward to now.
Yeah. The TV show, I think, is like pretty good, but the movie is like stupid crazy good.
No.
That's how I would sum it up for you.
I listened to the mixtape before I watched the movie to get myself pumped up for it.
No, I pray to God that you watch the movie first. What if there's spoilers in that mixtape?
You're right.
I don't want you.
I'm hoping there'll be mysterious spoilers because I'm dead set on this plan. I'll be like, oh, I wonder what that lyric meant.
These lyrics are so complex and subtle. They're driving me crazy for this movie. Yeah, how about you, Mike? Who do you have for a party purgatory?
Since I'm a professional podcaster, I actually have two answers. I have reasons why I have two answers, though, because one is not that interesting, and the second one, I think, has been done on this show before. So,
Is it Mark's Neighbors?
Yeah, it's Mark's Neighbors. I met Mark's Neighbors the other day, and I was like, fuck these guys. I never want to run into these guys at a party. No, the first one is because I alluded to it earlier. It's a very broad answer. It's basically anybody that's a man. I don't like talking to anybody that's more than one degree separated from any of my friends. Like, outside of that circle, I'm probably not going to talk to you, and you're probably going to be annoying. And actually, I guess I have three, because I forgot to mention anybody who one-ups anybody and, like, is a bullshit artist, them too. All those kind of people suck. But the one I actually had like a good story for is I can't remember. I think it was mentioned on one of these before, but I went to a 4th of July party on 4th of July, obviously. And it was like with my girlfriend, and she, it was like her friends, but like her friends' work friends. So, you know, they were very far separated from her circle of friends. So, we get there and it's like kind of a family party too. And there's a guy there, like with a faux hawk playing acoustic covers of Sublime songs. And it was like fucking wretched for me because I'm never in like situations where these things happen where I see people playing acoustic guitars and playing Sublime songs on them. Then he's like playing a parody of La Bamba. So like anybody who plays songs on an acoustic guitar at a party is just, that's not happening for me. And I like, I don't know, was that on your show before?
No, I think that's the first time we've had that.
Yeah, oh, I think so.
I felt that was like the first answer ever for some reason, but I guess I was wrong.
Maybe. I don't know. That was 15 weeks ago. I have trouble remembering things.
Yeah. But yeah, so that's mine. All three of those combined, I guess.
Yeah. To be a one-upper, I used to know this guy named Jared who was a Mormon. And not only, like, whenever I was hanging out with him, like, I was friends with his wife. And when I would hang out, he would, you know, come and try to hang out with everybody. He was, like, 10 years older than everybody somehow. And he would play acoustic guitar. And he would also put a Kermit the Frog puppet on one of his hands and play acoustic guitar while singing as Kermit the Frog.
Oh,
and it
boy.
Was the worst possible thing. But he made like really good peach cobbler, so like, and he was like Mormon, so you couldn't really like be mean to him or anything, and you couldn't tell him, hey, put it away, because he was like just super like so sweetly Frankenstein nice because he was Mormon.
Was the only song that he sang Rainbow Connection just in? Here's Rainbow Connection again.
I think he would do like Bob Dylan songs and stuff.
In the Kermit voice.
Yeah.
It wasn't that guy from the YouTube video that did Under Pressure, right? That's not your Mormon friend?
I don't think so. Unless he...
What?
There was like a viral video, like it was probably like last year, of this dude who's portraying a homeless person, but it doesn't... I guess people thought he was an actual homeless person, and he does Under Pressure with like Kermit puppets, and you know, like it got like a million views, like, oh, this is so heartwarming, blah blah blah, and then, you know, everybody read the fine print that this guy's not a homeless person, it's just a fucking music video and he's raising like homeless awareness or whatever, and then everybody hated him because he wasn't homeless
because they felt he was duped. yeah
and That's I feel awful. I feel like a Mormon could fall for that, where he's like, I'm just trying to help out, and you know, now everybody hates him.
Yeah, I'm going to have to look into that. It's probably that guy. Sounds like something he would do.
I'm just sure you could probably just search, like, Kermit Under Pressure, and it'll show up.
Sweet. I'll have to check that out later. But yeah, so a few weeks ago on this show, I issued a challenge to Jason Frisbee. I told him that he had to go out to a haunted antique store because he constantly asserts that he's not afraid of ghosts, and I wanted to see if that would still be the case under pressure of ghosts, no. If you will. And so how did that go, Jason? Did you go track down these ghosts?
It did not go well. We decided on a place as referenced by a 2008 article in Charlotte City Paper called Creative... Well, it's one of many Creative Loafing outposts, but it's for Charlotte. And they had a spooky article in 2008 for Antique Kingdom. And as I Google mapped the directions and drove out to the location, it did not occur to me once to call and see if this place that was recorded as still existing in 2008, in fact, still existed. So I drove out to a parking lot for a bank, and those were the exact directions. I stopped by a coffee store afterwards and asked a very hip-looking girl behind the counter, creepily, how long she had lived here.
And... Hey, how long did you live here, lady?
That was actually pretty close because I was leaning across the counter, like trying to seem very, you know, detective noir-ish, and it did not come off. Like, so, how long you been in this area? How long you been living here in this Midwood area? He's like, excuse me? I'm like, no, I mean, you moved here from somewhere, so are you familiar with this area at all? And she said, yeah. I'm like, I'm looking for this antique store called Antique Kingdom. It should be on Central. And she's like, no, but there's other antique stores down this way. I don't think any of them are called Antique Kingdom, though. And that would have been like the cue for spooky music to start playing, but it was not a very spooky interaction. So I'm pretty sure it was just bulldozed for putting that in a parking lot. Not because it was too scary to exist or anything.
I see. So
I did not find it.
So if we have any listeners in Charlotte, North Carolina, if you could go to this address and prove Jason Bisbee's story correct, that would be great. Because we have no way of verifying this. Maybe he got there and it was too scary and he doesn't want to talk about it.
Well, I did call the number, and the number was reported as disconnected. But yeah, 700 Central Avenue, that's where it was last reported to be, and the overhead satellite view shows a building where there is now a parking lot. And it should just be like a bank, modern-day bank.
Well, that's bogus. I'm sorry for sending you out to a place that had no ghosts. Yeah, well, we'll try to find you somewhere else scary to go.
Most of Charlotte is pretty scary anyway, so I'm pretty sure any place would do.
All right, we'll get on that. We'll get to the bottom of this. We'll find out how many ghosts it takes to scare you.
One. Yeah. Two. Three.
Are there any ghosts where you live, Mike? I would imagine that there would be all kinds of ghosts, you living in a big city with lots of old dead people.
Oh, yeah. A topic when we were discussing me being on the show, I told you I wanted to talk about ghosts because you said on one of the shows that you believe in ghosts. And I'm from Connecticut originally, which is the most haunted place on Earth. Like, everything is haunted there because it's fucking so old and blah, 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 blah. And the first people who ever try to make money off of ghost stories live in Connecticut, like the Warrens. They're like the first ghost hunters that started this whole trend of ghost hunting. And they're the biggest full of shit people like there ever are. They have all these haunted things. They have a haunted Raggedy Ann doll, all this shit. And so like when you live in Connecticut, like you're just, you know, you're just brainwashed. Not brainwashed, but it's not like you even question that there's ghosts. Like, you hear all this propaganda all the time that there's ghosts, everything's haunted, blah, blah, blah. And so even when, like, you know, when I was little, probably up until, like, 16, 17, even maybe 18, I believed in ghosts, like, pretty hardcore. And then, you know, you get older, it started waning. And recently, like, within the last few months, I finally was like, I do not believe in ghosts anymore. This is stupid. I read some articles that prove that there probably are not ghosts. Well, there definitely are not ghosts. So I stopped believing. And just like when people stop believing in God, anytime they meet another person that believes in God, they have to just tell them so much about how they don't believe in God and blah, blah, blah. So I wanted to come on the show like a person who doesn't believe in God anymore and tell you, Parker, there are no ghosts from Connecticut. They don't fucking exist. So you should stop sending Jason to these abandoned bank lots because he's not going to do – nothing's going to happen. And to tie it all together, actually – from the Repo Show part, is that there's a new show on the Sci-Fi Network called, like, I don't even know what it's called, but it's a ghost show, and it's like a repo ghost show where this guy comes to your haunted area and repos your haunted item so he could go collect it. And I'm watching this show, like, this is the most full of shit thing ever, just getting so upset. It was after Friday Night SmackDown, actually. Whatever's in that time slot, that's what this show is. And it's getting so upset. And then they're like, oh, it's so-and-so's secret haunted museum, Stratford, Connecticut, and that's my hometown. And I was like, motherfucker, these guys are from my hometown. They're related to the Warrens. Like, it's just, like, this big scam. So, like, now this asshole has, like, the fakest ghost show ever, and it happens to be from my hometown. So it's, like, it just made me even more upset that I don't believe in ghosts anymore, because now I just want to punch this guy in the face. And, like, we looked up, like, because it says, like, famous haunted museum. I don't know what it's called offhand, but... So I was like, I've lived in that town for like 14 years, and I don't ever remember ever stumbling across a haunted museum while living there. And like, I looked it up in Google. There's no address. Like, even on the website for the haunted museum, there's no address for it. So I don't know if it's just this dude's fucking tool shed or what the deal is, but that was like the real final nail in the coffin, where I was just like, ghosts are all fucking bullshit. So Parker, I'm just telling you, you're wasting your time believing in this. Just read up on it. There's no ghosts.
Well, I feel intellectually like there aren't any ghosts. Like, I don't believe in, you know, anything supernatural or anything like that. So I feel like there aren't any ghosts. Well, I mean, I don't feel like it, but I think that there are no ghosts, but that's not stopping me from being vastly afraid of ghosts.
I could understand
the idea
that.
Ghosts. Yeah.
Have you ever had a paranormal experience?
I don't think so. I worked, to keep going back to this, I worked at a newspaper for a long time, and it was in a real small town in Ohio, and it was a town that had, like, in the 70s was leveled by a tornado and everybody died. And so they rebuilt everything, and they rebuilt my building, like, on top of, you know, what used to be the downtown there. And we were, like, hanging out one night, and we were all bored. We didn't feel like making a newspaper anymore. And we went down to the basement, and there's, like, all these, you know, old newspapers stacked up everywhere and pictures of, like, real old-timey guys. Like, pictures of the guys who, like, founded the newspaper in 1802, like, real bowler hat-wearing, twirly mustache kind of guys, pictures of those guys everywhere. And then in the corner of, like, this huge open area, there, like, in the corner, the corner was chicken-wired off. So you had to, like, enter into this chicken-wire area that was enclosed, and the only thing in there was a chair that was sitting up against the corner. And from then on, I was, me and everybody else who worked there, we were very convinced that the place was haunted. Like, from then on, we kept hearing things, and the TV would turn on every once in a while, although I wasn't there for that, so perhaps my coworkers made that up or are delusional. But my former coworkers. But since then, we were always very afraid that the place was haunted, but I never, like, saw any ghosts or saw anything that could be ghosts. But it was scary, nonetheless. But I guess that would be the closest thing to seeing ghosts.
With me, when I was young, like I said, it was just like, I mean, every one of my family members had some ghost story that they were involved in. And now I don't know. I think they're just fucking liars. Like, I think they've just been lying. Are they idiots? I don't know. But I've had, you know, like a couple things that aren't even, like, worth mentioning or anything. But it's definitely, you know, stuff that's easily explained. It's not anything weird. So, like, I don't know. I don't know if all my family has been lying to me since I was little. But are they just, like, we're on drugs? But there's no ghosts.
Yeah, I know tons of people. Like, I went out to this old farm one time where, like, some friends lived, and they were like, oh, yeah. Like, we started hearing their cows in the background because we were way out in the middle of nowhere in Ohio. And they were like, we were like, hey, why are all these cows freaking out? And they were like, oh, yeah, that's just the ghosts that happen every once in a while. And, like, people just always have stories like that. Like, all, you know, the entire time I've been alive, people, it seems like every third person I know just has a story where they're like, yeah, sometimes I wake up in the middle of the night and an old man sitting on top of me, you know, I don't know, it's just ghosts, you know, whatever.
Just some ghosts.
That happened to me, but it turned out to be night terrors. I didn't know what night terrors were, but that's like a symptom of night terrors, is having waking up with a man sitting on top of you. And that's no bullshit. So, like, that's things like that have happened, and I'm just like, oh, it's ghosts. And then, you know, you read about it, like, on the internet or something, and you're just like, that's not ghosts. It's just, you know, an explained phenomenon already.
Well, like, while you're asleep, like a nightmare, or like you're awake and then you see these things?
Night terrors are like when you're in between. It's before you hit REM sleep, and you get, like, it's different for everybody, but usually most people have, like, the same occurrences where it's like you either feel like you're being choked. Like, that's the one I haven't had one in, like, years, but, like, that's the one I would get where, like, somebody's choking you, and you're like, you're conscious, but you're not, you know, it's like when you're sleepwalking, baby, basically, like that kind of state, I guess, that kind of mind state. So it's like 20 seconds before you, like, fully wake up, you're just like, oh my god, I'm choking. And when you fully wake up, you're still like, I'm still like gasping for air. Like, it's not like the powers wear off from the dream. Like, it still sucks. And I've heard, like, I've read ones where people, like, get that with spiders, where they wake up and they think there's spiders all over them, which sounds a lot worse than choking, I think. So yeah, like, that's explained. Another thing that happened to me once was I had a dream where I was falling, like, you know, people have those dreams all the time. Mm-hmm. But I hit the ground in the dream, and it was the most painful thing ever. And I woke up and I couldn't walk, and I was just like, the fuck, like, what is going on? Like, did I just get possessed by a demon or something? Like, what the fuck is going on? And there's, like, a thing called, like, temporary sleep paralysis, where it's pretty natural for that to happen. Like, you know, there's just things like that that people don't look into. So they're just like, oh, it's a ghost. And it's like, it's basically the easiest way to explain something is that it's haunted.
I would much rather want to believe in ghosts than believe that my mind was making me see dead people sitting on top of me from time to time. That would be like, if that happened to me, if I woke up and there's like some old timey ghostly looking guy on top of me choking me, I would feel that death would be the best thing for me. I would just live in fear of that happening again. Like, my life would just turn into like a Freddy movie where I'm constantly just eating coffee beans, trying not to go to sleep.
Yeah, I don't know. It would only happen to me like if I slept in like somewhere unfamiliar to me, it would happen. But you know, if I sleep in my bed, it doesn't happen. If I move into a new place, it might happen. If I sleep over like a girlfriend's house, it might happen. But yeah, actually, about the Nightmare on Elm Street thing. Wes Craven always says that's why he wrote Nightmare on Elm Street. It was because he read a story about somebody in, I can't remember, it was like Thailand or somewhere like that, that, you know, kept like a coffee maker in his closet because he was afraid to go to sleep because he knew he would die. And then, you know, he finally fell asleep and died. And I was no doubt in my mind it's from a night terror or something like that.
That sounds much more frightening than ghosts. Now I have this new thing to be scared of. This may be the scariest moment of my life.
Well, I'm glad my ghoulish ghoul Mike the Ghoul can bring that to you. The scariest moment of your life. I hope you're afraid to go to sleep forever now because you're afraid to have a night terror.
I kind of am. This is terrible news.
It's not that bad, actually. Like, when you mentioned the spider thing, Mike, had that just a couple of weeks ago when we were driving back for the 4th. We had to leave really early. We split the trip into like two trips, and then second morning, well, the morning after we had finished the first leg, I was sleeping in an unfamiliar place, and I had a dream that there was a spider that was trying to swat off of me, and whenever I was talking to this person, they kept looking down at my shirt, and the spider would progressively get higher, and it's like kind of shouting, like, I'm trying to brush this spider off as gently as possible, why does it keep crawling up my person? And then finally, like, the next thing I remember, I'm flailing out of bed, like I'm supposed to be jumping out somewhat gracefully, you know, like if I'm going to wake up from a dream, but like all my limbs are going at once in different directions. I'm like, we got to get going. There's a spider. And so I guess I had the intention to leave right away because there was a spider, even though it was only in boxer shorts. but yeah, that's basically what it is, Parker. So yeah, you have to look forward to
it. It happens. It usually happens within like the first 20 minutes of you laying down. So just have your wife or something, you know, monitor you, and then maybe she could wake you up after that 20 minutes and say, you did it. You made it another 20 minutes. And then she could just wake you up every 20 minutes. So you'll never have a night terror.
That sounds like a good plan. On occasion, I wake up thinking that I'm covered in spiders, but that's because I'm actually covered in spiders because I live in the fucking desert and everything is scary out here.
Yeah, that's more scary to me. I'm just like completely blabbing, but like, yeah, my friend moved to Arizona, and the first time he told me about like sandstorms, I thought like he was just making it up. Like, I thought it was just something from Dune or something. Like, I didn't know sandstorms actually existed. And then, luckily enough, I was just on tour with my friend's band, and I left like a few days before they went to Arizona, and they got stuck in a sandstorm on the highway and showed me a video of it, and it almost made me cry.
Oh, yeah, the big scary one that just happened. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, people out here are real worried that that's going to happen here because it's basically the same thing. There's just sand.
I would just be in a fucking corner crying until that stopped. Like, oh, my God. I'll deal with the choking over a sandstorm any day.
I would imagine that if you didn't check up, like, on the weather that day and you went outside and there was a huge sandstorm, you would just crumple and just imagine, like, that it was the end of the world or something.
Yeah, exactly.
There could be no other reasonable explanation.
Dirt is flying and covering everything. This is it. This is how we go.
Yeah. Either that or you're being attacked by a giant pig pen from the Peanuts. I'll edit that joke out. but yeah, so I suppose that wraps things up for this show. As we've gone for a while. And, I'll try not to be afraid of ghosts anymore, but I'm going to be extra afraid of these night terrors. but yeah, so that's the end of the show. Thanks to Mike for being on the show.
Thanks,
hey,
Mike.
Hey, thank you. Thank you. You want to check me out again? It's Kissing Contest at kissingcontestpodcast.com or on iTunes, just as Kissing Contest.
Yeah, and there's also a link on our website, which is poolpartyradio.com. And go to that website. Leave us blog comments. And if you are Hijack the Mic, who has been the only person to leave us blog comments, we love you. And send us emails at poolpartyradio@gmail.com. And most of all, leave us comments on iTunes, because that would be awesome. And we, I don't know. And oh, follow Frisbee on Twitter, especially Frisbee on Twitter. This is the most important thing you must do. He is at Jason Frisbee.
I've been slacking again. I'll admit it, I've been slacking on it. But
yeah, I've noticed. You don't need to tell someone.
Yeah, I know.
You need to get with that. And yeah, also Kissing Contest is on Twitter.
Yeah, at Kissing Contest.
Yeah. And I am also there at Parker, Arizona. And the show is there at Pool Party Radio. But we don't use it that often, so mostly just follow me and Frisbee. But yeah, I suppose that's everything, right? Am I missing anything, Jason?
No, I think that's everything, man.
That should be everything. Next week, we will be back, and we'll have a show with Jeremy Morrison, a filmmaker and a swell dude. So, yeah, so we'll take a week-long break, and we'll be back next week. So, see ya.
Forgive me for being so weak, but that is who I am. Goodbye.
What difference is that gonna make? What difference is that gonna make?
I just want to get out of here. I hate this place. It's driving me crazy. I can't even sleep.
Get out of here. I've got to break loose. I've got to stop talking to myself.
Get a girlfriend, have a house or a car or something. Have a little money in the bank and a job. Not much.